In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. A dear friend of mine who I'd known for, well, almost my entire life, we met when we were in fifth grade. His name was Joel. He passed away last summer. But he used to move through life with a very unique understanding, to say the least. And he was a bigger guy. Well, of course, most people are bigger to me, but he was literally a bigger guy. He was taller considerably, always was. And he kind of walked through life with an authority that really wasn't his, especially when we were younger. He was the guy, we would get in the car, you'd go through the fast food drive-through, and you'd get up to the window, and he'd look at him and said, "Don't forget, you have to give me free fries." I'm going to tell you, 90% of the time, that person was so confused, they just gave him free fries. They're like, okay. We would go to the county fair, and usually had the Shriners, they'd be there taking the tickets. You know, somebody would sell you the ticket, you go through, they would take your ticket. I'm not sure why that process exists, but it still does, doesn't it? You got to buy for the ticket in the window, and then you got to go over to the gate and hand it to somebody else. It's like, it somehow made sense. And he would say, just stay with me. And we just walked towards the gate. And with great authority, he would just walk through the gate, and the people would go like, "Hey," and he's like, "Hey, how you doing?" And just keep walking. No one ever stopped him or anybody that was with him. He'd just walk right through the gate like he belonged there. He had the authority to be there. Nobody's going to stop him. Nobody ever questioned him. Now that, well, that saved me like 10 bucks, so I walked through with him on more than one occasion. I'm not going to lie. There's my confession. You can absolve me later, Father. It gets better than that, but not today. But he just had this, he just moved with this authority that really wasn't his. And many times we see that happening in our life and in our society. In psychology, they would call that perceived authority. People walk with this perceived authority. It's this image of an expert. And sometimes that image is created by the things around us. Today would be like perhaps the news or social media or position in socioeconomic position in society, the rest of it. And these people have perceived authority. We have people who literally pretend to be other people for a living so we can film it and watch it, and they somehow have authority over our society, amen? Now, if you're an actor or actress, don't take that wrong. I think that's a wonderful thing to do. Entertainment is an important part of our lives, but do we really need to take our authority and put people in the position of authority who seriously have no idea what it means to get up and go to work every single day of the week? See, that doesn't work for me. But we do have people like that, we agreed? These people have this perceived authority, and then we add to that yet another little struggle that we have as human beings, and we have this authority bias that is sort of built into us somewhat cognitively, and we just sort of, we believe this authority, and we respond to it as though it's real. And we do it all the time, whether you know it or not. In the world of news, we have what they now call talking heads. I don't know who these people are. I don't know what gives them the authority to tell us what's going on. They have an opinion, which I think is lovely, but we all know about opinions. But somehow they're put forth as though they're an authority, and many of us just say, okay, this has to be true. We believe this to be true. This person has perceived authority. And with our authority bias, this person who is put forward as this expert, we will tend to get behind and believe whatever they say and support them in whatever they're saying and doing. And off we go. Now, this is something humanity has done since the beginning of humanity, I suspect. But it's also one of the biggest struggles we have in the church. Because we move in this society that is always constantly pressing into us these perceived authority figures. And we follow. The same thing was happening early on in the church. That's why John was writing this letter, to get the church to pay attention to what matters most. Pay attention to what's happening. Because they were having the same problems, you see. People were coming in and giving some false teachings, and in their false teachings, they were leading people away from the truth. So this still happens, and it's still happening within the church, and still happens within our society. So we can hear from this first letter of John to the church that this letter is good for us today too. Amen? We can hear it. So let's say chapter 5, verse 1. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the parent loves the child. Sounds a little bit familiar, although not the exact words that Jesus just used in the gospel, but it sounds a little bit like, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. That is how Jesus summarized all the commandments. When asked which one's the most important, he says, pay attention to these two things, and everything else will probably likely fall in line. Amen? And I believe most of us find that to be true. Let's hold on to that truth. By this, we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. Well, that sounds like we're coming under the authority of God. Now, if you're like me, coming to me and saying, you need to pay attention to the authority in your life, and if I have any perception that it's something other than God, I'm probably immediately going to step back. Living under authority is not my number one choice in life. I have the history to prove it. But the reality is, we have to have an authority. And even when I wasn't living under authority, I was living under an authority, a perceived authority, probably presented to me in my biases as a authority figure that I thought would make things okay. There was a time in my life when I made it very clear I would never cut my hair. Anybody else make that one? Yeah, there we go. Hey, see? I'm never cutting my hair. I'm going to be that old guy with the ponytail. It didn't happen. Now, every once in a while, I threaten to grow it back. My children are like, no, you're not. But I was that guy, hair down the middle of the back, earrings, the whole mess. And I was never changing that. Because that gave me my so-called position in life that wasn't really of God. It had nothing to do with God. It had to do with me being able to present myself in opposition to whatever was happening in this world, and certainly whatever I had been taught as a young child in the church. I chose a different authority. It's not that I wasn't under authority. I just chose a false authority, amen? And we see that happening all the time. All the time. And it happens a lot in the church, still. It was happening then, it's happening now. Perceived authority. But by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. For the love of God is this, that we obey his commandments. That we obey his commandments. And Jesus made it easy. I mean, God's people initially were given 10. Then we added 590 some odd extra laws to go with it. Jesus came and said, let's see if we can do these two things. And if we can do those two things, John is reminding us that that will represent our love of God. For the love of God is this, that we obey his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God conquers the world. Here's the thing I know for sure. When I had a perceived authority in my life that was not God, and I worked my life based on that concept, and maybe you found this true in your own life, my life was not particularly easy. And I have marks from it. I tell people all the time. They look at me and they go, oh, I'm sorry you lost your hearing. Sorry, that's a self-inflicted wound. I created my hearing loss. I have to live with that. There's other things that resulted in my living under a different authority and not the authority of God. There are ways in which I have behaved, things that I have done to this body, and more importantly, probably things that I didn't do, that ultimately are going to cost me. And they do. And I still fight against it, even today. But when I am under a false authority, it's a burden. It's the thing we struggle with. In this letter, 1 John. His commandments are not burdensome. When we align ourselves under the authority of God, things get a little easier. I'll let you in on a little secret. After fighting and fighting and fighting my way through life under my own understanding, my own perceived authority, whether it be someone I was facing as an authority figure that I built my life after, or I just claimed my own and walked boldly through the gate to the fair and let somebody else have a perceived authority of me or my friend. I blamed him, by the way, still will, because he can't do anything about it now. When I live in that, I created problems for me. When I decided, which I have to decide over and over again, by the way, to live under the authority of God, it was like this giant relief. All these things that I thought I had to have control over, all these things that I had to make sure were done right, all these things that had to fit this particular mold that I could never match, all the pressure, all the stress, all the rest of it, when I moved under the authority of God as a child of God and loving God with all my heart, all my soul, and all my mind, and then turning that into loving my neighbor as myself, all the other pieces just sort of faded. Still works like that. When I find myself feeling stressed or under pressure, I will promise you, and it's probably true for you too if you take the time to consider it, in those moments, if you stop and ask yourself, what am I doing right now? Am I under the authority of God, or am I under some perceived authority that this world has placed over me and I've now accepted it? Because that's often what happens. We find ourselves fighting through this world, and it's like, I don't understand, and I'm so stressed out, and I'm so tired, and I got to do this, and I got to do that, and I got to get this done. And sometimes we run so much in that area, we suddenly find ourselves getting pressed down and pressed down and pressed down until we finally find ourselves on our knees before our true authority. Amen? And then in that moment, and it could be months, it could be years that have gone ahead of you in that situation, but when you finally are driven to your knees and you let it go and you turn it over to God, it comes, doesn't it? That peace of God that passes all understanding, exactly what our true authority promises. That's when it comes. But we still struggle to pick it, don't we? We run under this concept of perceived authority with our biases, and we create authorities in our lives that come between us and the true authority, our God. And I'd like to say you're going to just choose it one time and it's going to be done. If you have done that, please come and tell me how you managed, because I need your help. I have to do this every day. Yesterday I was talking with one of our brothers at the Altria that was held here, and we were talking about morning prayer and how he's finding life in doing morning prayer. And I said, yeah, I get that. 3 years of seminary will do that to you, by the way. Well, depending on the seminary you go to. When we started doing morning prayer here, it was two reasons. One, just trying to do something to stay connected with you all when we couldn't be in the same building. Two, I needed to get it together and have my authority in place before I could do anything else during the day. And still to this day, I fight to get here sometimes. Lindsay can tell you, she's often here wondering if I'm going to show up. Because, I will come burning in here. I can set us up the live stream and do morning prayer in under 4 minutes. Because, if you're waiting for me to show up, if you want me to do it on my time, morning prayer is going to happen about 10:30, maybe 11. That's about the time I'm like, I'm going to get at it on a rare occasion, about once every other month. Got nothing to do on a Saturday. We may not get out of bed till 10:30, 11 o'clock. I said, well, you should probably get up and eat some lunch. That's when I feel like I'm ready. So there are times I'm really struggling to show up to do morning prayer. But one thing I promise you every single time is by the time we get on the other side of morning prayer, my true authority is in place. My understanding is clear. How to move next, what to do next, how to surrender and live out the commandments becomes very clear. Now, as Episcopalians, we're well aware that this is a daily struggle. In fact, in that prayer book in front of you, there are literally four services every single day to help you remember who the authority in your life is. Why is that? Well, just like the church, when John was writing, we still struggle to keep it straight, don't we? So I want to encourage you to live more fully into it because it matters. And how does it matter? For whatever is born of God conquers the world. How often do we feel like the world is conquering us? Whatever it may be. And this is the victory that conquers the world. We want to know that, don't we? This is the victory that conquers the world. You can say all you want, and you can get in whatever political conversations you want, and you can decide it's this, that, or the other thing, but our authority says it is one thing. This is the victory that conquers the world. Our faith. It is our faith in God that allows us to walk through this world in the victory of Christ as conquerors, not subject to the broken, fallenness, perceived authority of the world. Who is it that conquers the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Such a simple but clear message, maybe not so clear initially, that is being given to the church then and now. Who's your authority? So, brothers and sisters, I'd say this. It is time we confront the reality that we continue to answer to a perceived authority. And by our biases that are in place, we believe and we follow these perceived authority figures in this world. And you know as well as I do, every single time we do that, we lose sight of the true authority, God. It's time to confront that. It's time to grab a hold of the truth. It's time for us to return to the first creed of the church, because it's an easy one. Most of us here, when I start the Nicene Creed, you're going to know it. But if I call on you to stand up and recite the Nicene Creed, I bet there's not too many people here who can do it. We're meant to do it together. Don't panic. If you haven't memorized it in the last 60 years, it's okay. It's a corporate thing. But here, let me give you something you can remember. Every single time you discover you're under the authority of a perceived authority that is not God, you can grab a hold of the original creed of the church. Jesus is Lord. In every single thing that happens in our day, in that moment when we fail, in that moment when somebody's pressing into us, in that moment when we're being fed information and we start to feel that little bit of panic, the world feels like it may be conquering us, we just simply have to say, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. And that peace that comes, that you may remember if you've ever been pressed down so hard by the world, you found yourself on your knees and then you finally looked for God. Amen? Anybody? Yeah. Not this week. That's not true. It was this week, wasn't it? It's been a long week. So I've been there with you. I've been there with you. Jesus is Lord. We need to confront that reality that we often are moving through our lives as Christians when Jesus is not Lord. His perceived authority. It's time we confront it, and it's time we grab a hold of it, proclaim Jesus as Lord. Let the Spirit of the living God testify through us, because he is the victor. And we are on the side of the victor. And through the Spirit of God living in us, we who believe are the conquerors with him of this world. Amen.